Yeah, click, click, click. It's bird life should sound like many swim walking. Ready to go and catch answer? Yes. Good morning, everyone. I want to welcome all of you to this Las Animas County Board of County Commissioners regular meeting. Today is Tuesday, February 4th, 2025. It is 9 a.m. I'm calling this meeting to order. Please rise for an invocation by Commissioner Lucero, followed up by the Pledge of Allegiance by Commissioner Tony Huss.
Heavenly Father, as we gather today, we ask for your guidance and wisdom in our discussions. Help us to listen to each other with open hearts and minds and to work together for the greater good. May our words be thoughtful and our actions be guided by your love. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Commissioners. Roll call, Mr. Dorenkamp.
Commissioner Searle?
Yes.
Commissioner Huss?
Here.
Commissioner Lopez?
Present. Approval of the agenda. Do you have any changes to the agenda, Mr. Dorenkamp?
No changes, Commissioner.
Thank you, sir. Is there any discussion on the agenda? I'll entertain a motion.
Move to approve the agenda.
Second.
Commissioner Searle?
Yes.
Commissioner Huss?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes, thank you and welcome to all of you. I want to remind everyone, if you want to provide public comment, we have a signing sheet up there. So please put your name in there and then we'll call to you on you here at the proper time. We don't have any section two consideration of minutes. We don't have any. Let me go to the reading of correspondence, commissioner committee reports. Commissioner Lucero, would you like to go first?
Sure. Over the last few weeks, I've attended several meetings in person and online. Listened to all the steering committee meetings last week. So at this point, I'm just doing a lot of watching and listening, kind of learning the process. So that's pretty much my report for this week.
Thank you, sir. Commissioner Huss.
Yes, on the 23rd of January, I attended the South Central TPR. Mitch Wardell from Warfield County, he's a commissioner, was elected chair. Topics included multimodal planning process, reviewed vision for Colorado's transportation system and the 10-year plan out to the 50-year plan. There was an extensive discussion on the merger proposal and current legislation to halt the effort to combine the Intermountain District with the Southern Colorado and the Southeastern TPR. The legislation proposes to introduce a 16th TPR to be introduced in the Intermountain region. There will be more to come here in my report. We also reviewed the long-range regional plan, long-range statewide plan, and the four-year plan. And it was disappointing to learn that there wouldn't be funding available for our wildlife tunnel that was going to be located up here at near Exit 2. That wildlife has been funneled up through New Mexico because of that high fence, and there's nowhere for the wildlife to go to cross over without crossing two interstate highways there. And there have been multiple accidents, and we were trying to address that issue by bringing them further down and then putting them underneath the highway. But there wasn't funding available, so I guess we can reapply in May, and hopefully we will be successful then. Again, on the 23rd of January, Senator Brown and Representative Andy Bosnicker wanted a meeting with the CCI, the personnel from CCI, to see what their concerns with what they might have with the YGBI. And the YGBI is, this allows churches to build buildings on the land that they own to support workers and broader community. There will be a ceiling for acres that may be developed. This primarily was brought forth by some of our larger counties up around Denver that have 500,000 acres that surround their churches, and they want to develop affordable housing on those acres. This is Colorado's version of Senator Sherrod Brown's bill, 118th Congress for 23 and 24. It was a federal bill that he pushed. The bill is trying to address affordable housing. A nonprofit, Greco's Housing, in charge of managing the property, who earn between 30 to 80% of the area's median income. Cemeteries would be exempt from the bill, and all bills are still subject to all county tax, and buildings are designed to, for their setbacks and standards and zones. Up to three stories they can be, and they have to meet all standards, water, street setbacks, residential use processes, etc. Ty Winters had an update on the same day. He was telling us about the budget backfalls, 800,000 in the red. Everybody at the Capitol is tightening their belts. They had their SMART Act hearings, and they were pretty frugal in their scrutinization. Topics of bills he told us would be immigration, green energy, the cultivated bill, and HB 1064 that he, Pelton, McCormick, and are bringing to the forefront to further advance modular reactors, nuclear modular reactors. Let's see here. It would meet the clean energy description, and he was pretty excited about pushing that bill forward because Butler's been looking at it pretty closely. On the 23rd also, CDA and CCI had their monthly meeting, and they talked about budget cuts, and eight more employees were added that month. They're to fund these positions, they're going to reduce the rodents cash fund, the livestock indemnity fund, and the ag management fund. These are one-time cuts and eliminations of grant programs also that will be pulled. They talked about the legislative report, the two bills that they're following that would restructure the long bill, which could have a considerable impact on the ag bill. And one bill that they're going to be introducing that is the Wild Horse Working Group bill. It's going to talk about trying to limit the wild horse herd by doing infertility projects on those horse herds. The quarantine for the avian flu was lifted on all of Colorado. However, it is running rampant in California. There's a new screw worm that's been discovered in Mexico, and it was eradicated from Colorado, but it's a flesh-eating maggot, and it doesn't eat rotten flesh, it eats live flesh. So they've canceled all imports from Mexico at this point, and they're monitoring pretty heavily. Also, Germany has identified foot and mouth again. And they've canceled imports from Europe at this point also. The next conversation was the wolf and five additional staff contracting and training. There were 120 people that attended their first training. They're going to actually hire 12 more range riders. And out of that 120 that are training, and I guess the others will subcontract on their own. On the 27th, I attended the Spanish Peaks Outdoor Coalition board meeting. We're talking about agritourism and in this region of Colorado. And I'm already on the PITO and the co-op board. That's the founders of this push. After 3 years of participating on the state steering committee, and raising enough state that they finally put ag representation on the executive board. So it's good to finally get that done. And they've added four additional seats on the executive board to represent ag also. So we do have ag representation there finally. On the 28th, of course, we had the ambulance hearing, district hearing here, and I won't go into that. On the 29th, I received my Senate confirmation for the appointment to the EIF committee, and it's an honor to serve there. This will be my second term serving the underdog. I like to make sure that we get our fair share, and that all the seems like the lion's share of funding always goes to the front range. I want to make sure that these heavily impacted communities get their due. On the 30th to the 31st, CCI Legislative Committee met. Commissioner Lopez and I, we attended those meetings in person. CCI took positions on 64 bills, and it seemed like the theme of the meeting was to reduce local government and at all costs, whether that was to introduce more mandates that would drive the cost of those particular departments to the point that it'll bankrupt our county. We're pretty concerned about that. Two of the bills that I'd like to talk about, HB 25 1046, that was the increase of the transportation numbers that I talked about at the TPR. They pulled that for lack of support, our sponsors of the bill, Richardson and Pelham. There wasn't enough support there to move forward at this time. So that was disappointing to hear that. The other bill I'd like to talk about was HB 1023. CCI took the support position. This bill requires for individuals to submit applications for certain contiguous fencing projects in the Sangre de Cristo lands to local government with jurisdiction over the project. The local government must publish notice of the receipt of the application and must make a decision no later than 60 days after receiving the application. This was brought forth by the community over there by the Columba Range, where an individual from Texas has fenced in a huge amount of acres. I think it's 300,000 acres, and it's 8-foot fencing, and it's basically made a game preserve out of that ranch. And some of the arguments that were brought forth was it violates the wildlife corridor right there. That's a huge wildlife corridor coming into Los Angeles County that now is hindered by this fence. Erosion control was another piece of that. Also, he didn't file a permit with the county, which is required if over the four wire fence, livestock fencing. A lot of the comments were directed at herds of elk getting across but leaving their babies on the other side, because they have CPW required them to put in some of the game jumps. It's not really conducive for the small animals because they won't jump. So like a mama bear gets across, but the baby bear is trapped on the other side of the fence with no way to get to her. Anyway, those were some of the comments that were made on that. They took a support position because of those reasons. I'm a little concerned that it may set some fencing precedent. However, it is a permissive bill. Counties do not have to participate if they don't want to. So it's an opt-in or opt-out. And HB 25-1111, we took a position of opposed. This bill is called the Expand the Homestead Exemptions Zone. The bill modifies the property tax code. You know, we just went through a special session to deal with this. We were hoping that we'd be done messing and meddling in our taxes, but here we go again. We have a new one, and the bill modifies property tax exemptions for certain homeowners, starting with the reassessment cycles on their January 1st, 2025. It changes the exemption from qualifying seniors, disabled veterans, and eligible surviving spouses from 50% of the first 200,000. If you can understand this, please spell it out for me. And then a home's value to 50% of the 50% of the estimated state median home value. So maybe Jody will have a report on that. We'll see. One size doesn't fit all. These arguments were brought forward. This is county funded, another mandate. Will push us beyond the Tabor cap, and backfill comes from the state if funds are available, okay? And the state's not gonna allow us to have any money. That's gonna be county funded. Anyway, we took an opposed position for that. Let the counties do what the counties do and stay out of our business. And that's my report, sir.
Thank you, sir. One of the questions I have for you, Commissioner, has when we met with CDA, the Colorado Department of Ag, one of the questions that was asked on that meeting is, and I may have written that wrong, 300 million chickens were euthanized throughout the United States. They're the price of eggs. And so our question, the question that I personally asked is, are we importing any eggs from Canada? And what are the regulations to do such? I haven't received the answer. But nonetheless, you know, the majority of the meetings that Commissioner Tony has, I attended as well. One of the things that I want to expound on, when we met with CDA, these range riders is basically training individuals throughout the Western Slope at this time where the introduction of the wolves have taken place to use non-lethal mitigation processes. So in a sense, training all the landowners how to mitigate wolf depredation. I don't know that we're ever going to be able to get there. 12 riders for so many hundreds of thousands of acres is not going to be that effective. So we'll see what happens. But one of the bigger perspectives that we have is that we want to know what is the multiplication, because at this time we're on the third year of the wolf reintroduction. So we're probably going to start seeing a lot of litters all throughout the state. What is happening? How do we keep track of that? So, but let me give you, as of yesterday, 27 new bills were introduced. Thus far, 283 bills in about a month. If that is any indication of what's going to happen in this legislature, as Commissioner Tony has, I think the theme, as we had an opportunity to attend the legislative breakfast in Denver last Friday and walk around and speak with some of the representatives, senators, and so on, 283 bills, even if it's 250 per month, between now and May, we are going to have a long haul. 168 came from the House, 115 are coming from the Senate. One of the bills that I've been keeping track of is Senate Bill 25003, the semi-automatic firearms and rapid fire devices, came up for a second reading on Friday. Expect Second Amendment pro and con advocates to descend on the Capitol on Friday morning, pass the first Senate meeting, and is likely to pass second and third readings on his way to the House. So that's Senate Bill 25003. Representative Ron Weinberg from Loveland, House Bill 25-1164, constitutional right to conceal carry a handgun. Basically, the bill lowers the age for concealed carry of handguns from 21 to 18 to remove the need for a permit to carry the weapon. Eligible persons can apply for a permit if they want to carry a concealed weapon in another state that requires permits. A permit is valid for a lifetime, extended from five years. The bill also removes authority of local governments from regulations, open or concealed carry of handguns, including colleges and universities. Keep an eye on that. Right now, one of the things, you know, as you get into, and I was watching on the floor yesterday of the House, it's going to be party lines. Whether we like it or not, it's going to be party lines, and the majority is still going to be pretty much driving through. House Bill 25-1162, eligibility redetermination for Medicaid members, streamlines Medicaid re-enrollment for individuals, especially those on fixed incomes. Currently, individuals on Medicaid have to re-enroll regularly. The bill extends the timeline to reduce re-enrollment requirements for persons with fixed stable incomes. One of the conversations, as Commissioner Haas was mentioning, that really went up all the way, and pretty much we had a presentation from the Colorado Department of Human Services, was the Child Care Assistance Program. This particular fund from the state of Colorado is going to be, we have unfunded mandates, and Commissioner Tony has described this pretty well. I think the flavor of the conversation in the last Thursday and Friday of last week, it was take away local control and continue to pass unfunded mandates. $60 million is what the CCAP program needs to be funded fully. The governor appropriated $10 million. So one of the conversations that we have had in the last couple of weeks, we sent a letter on behalf of Las Animas County, but I proposed to the entire CCI membership that we needed to send a letter to the governor signed by 64 counties. And that passed unanimously. We need to remind the governor that if we want to provide these services, he needs to find the funds to fund these needy people. So what happens if somebody doesn't have child care, for instance, in Los Angeles County, they might not be able to go to work. They might not be able to keep up their medical appointments and so on. So there is kind of a domino effect on this whole thing. That conversation went on for quite a while. Here's another one that I want to mention, and I'll close with this. The modular housing. Here in Colorado, we're scrambling so fast and so hard to make housing affordable. And modular housing, although it is a great opportunity, it's not even affordable anymore. We heard a number, $280 per square foot, even to on that type of industry. And one of the things that they're proposing, there is legislation coming forward to have regional building codes. So regional building codes, meaning that Las Animas, Huerfano, perhaps in all the eastern counties, we're going to be under one region, under one building code. One thing that we continue to remind proponents of this legislation is that in Las Animas County, you can live on 10,000 feet of altitude, or you can live on the east part of the county. In that modular home, the people that are going to be living on the eastern part of the county, because it has to be built for the 10,000 feet, you know, snow load and so on and so forth, they're going to be paying a whole lot more when they don't really need it. We also had the wildland urban interface, the fire protected envelope of a home in some of these wooded areas where if you live in an open country, might not be needed. So we don't know exactly what's going to happen with these regional building codes. But I tell you one thing, if you get an opportunity, log on. We have the link to the General Assembly on our website. And if we don't have it, we'll put it up. Log in there, listen to the legislation. It is incredibly fast. It's moving really fast. You should average about 600 bills. And right now you can see we're almost at 300 in about a month. It is going really fast, and it's going to be impacting at the end of the day, pretty much counties. So let me go ahead and close my report with that. And I'm now going to call on elected officials update. I don't know if Mrs. Amato might have a couple of updates for us.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I always have some update when it becomes legislative session, and good, bad, or the ugly. As a matter of fact, I have to get out of here at 10 because we are having, as the Colorado Assessors Association, a legislative meeting about a bill that just was introduced. Last year, we were promised as an outcome of the special session that we would not see property tax bills this year. So far, I have had my eyes on seven. So we just are getting one that will be introduced, I believe, later on today, and it is House Bill 251095, and that will affect how people present documentation for County Board of Equalization hearings. Currently in statute, we have direction and law that states that when they go to the Board of Assessment of Appeals or when a petition has been denied, income-producing properties and commercial properties have to provide certain pieces of data to us. Well, at a county board level, that doesn't happen. And in rural Colorado, it's not that big of an issue, but in our metro cousins, it's a very large issue. So this bill is being put forth. It was kind of took assessors, kind of hit us blindsided. So we are scrambling to get everybody on the same page. To speak to Commissioner Hass's bill on senior exemptions, that piece of the bill has been kicked around for 3 years now. When there were legislatures that wanted to do something about homestead exemptions or expand it, they did not completely understand what assessors were telling them when we were trying to give them direction on how the program works. So the piece that you all looked at came out of the special session. Our understanding was the draft, whoever was drafting the bill, was just copying and pasting pieces out of previous legislation or previous proposed bills. So it kind of got mumble jumbled in there. We're hoping that one dies because it doesn't make any sense to assessors, and we are the ones that actually implement and handle the program. Just to give clarification, at any time that the state is in a deficit, they do have the authority to not fund the current senior exemption and veteran exemption. In my 23 years, I've only seen it happen once, but we are in uncharted times as far as the state deficit, so we could possibly be seeing that again. As of now, we were told that it will be funded for tax year 2025 and tax year 2024, payable in 25. But we've been trying to help direct that cleanup bill on that language of the senior exemption, but it's falling on deaf ears because they had the special extraordinary session and they thought they did something great. Unfortunately, all they did was muddy the water even more. Today, I do want to give you an update. We are working diligently with Tyler to implement the laws that came out of the special session, but we are having some serious detrimental coding problems. Our testers were supposed to have had the new code by January 1. We still have not received it yet. Every time Tyler, their people try to make the program work, it keeps breaking. So unfortunately, we are trying to pass that on to legislatures. They are not hearing it. We have been too good at our jobs in the past. We just get that job done by whatever legislation. So Tyler is trying their hardest to make the new legal changes work in code.
And what will that cost for you to the county?
Well, right now, nothing. But I have a feeling as we renew our contracts in future, we're going to see services go up. We're going to see some new fees that we're going to have to incur.
So the Tyler's contract for us, is it renewed every year?
We renew it every year. As a matter of fact, we just paid my assessor's contract.
Okay. And it was on the same old?
It was on the same old, where if we have legislative change, the old language that was in the contract, if we have legislative changes, Tyler will handle that at no cost to counties.
How many counties use Tyler?
There's 64 counties. We have 33 at the moment, and a few more are looking to come on. So over half the state uses Tyler. So I have a feeling
they'll make it happen.
Somebody's going to pay somewhere, and it will be on the county eventually. Yep. So that is all I have to say, gentlemen. Any questions?
Well done. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Jody. Let me call on anyone with the clerk and recorder's office. Treasurer's office. Sheriff's office.
Good morning. Good morning. At this time, I have nothing to report. Sorry.
No, that's fine. Thank you and good morning.
Good morning.
Anyone from the sheriff's office? District attorney? Coroner. Hearing that, we're going to move to section five. Section six, public comment. We have Joni Steiner. Good morning. Good morning. Please welcome and know that you will have 3 minutes to address this board under the public comment line item of this meeting.
Yes. Thank you, commissioners. Good morning to everyone. And I was wanting to come to the county commissioner meeting because I like to come and hear what's happening. But also, I did recently go to, I'm representing Earth Mountain Education Farm as I am the director. It's something that I've kind of talked to a lot of people about. We're seeing a lot more trash in our canyons, and Earth Mountain would like to partner, and I did go to Stonewall Fire Department, and they are excited about this, and they said we could use the Wet Canyon Station. So I'm asking to see if the county would want to support us in this. It is an Earth Day Canyon cleanup that we would pilot in Wet Canyon. Since Stonewall's very, very strong there, we'd be out of the Wet Canyon Fire Station. And it really is a community building cleanup in the canyons, as we see a lot of trash and there's a lot of people that go out, but you can't attack it all in one with one person. So in the spring, I propose that to the Stonewall Fire Department, what I'm proposing to you is that Earth Mountain Education Farm, as a community organizer, would bring people together and organize an event that would use the substation at Wet Canyon to start, like I said, a pilot in April around Earth Day, to bring people on a half day event to come out and clean up their canyon. I think it builds a lot of pride in where we live. We live in a beautiful place. It's a feel good experience for community to come together and do something of community action that helps us in our environment. So, and also, as you know, it also brings us together out of a rural community where we don't see each other very much up in the canyons, and bring people out in the spring to come together, do something that brings pride, brings a feel good and a community. I'm also going to go to, which I haven't yet, to Pioneer Evergreen, and see if they want to help with this, since they use the roads extensively, and if they would support, you know, feeding the people that are out there doing that. What we ask from you is possibly free dump for the trash that's collected from the county, if that's county run. I'm actually not sure if it's county or city. Okay, we'll have to go to the city for that. And if there was a county truck that could pick up, it could come from the county, it could come from Pioneer Evergreen, you know. So I'm just asking for your support in this, and we're starting to actively spread the word on this type of environment, on this project.
Thank you so much. And let me, well, we cannot really respond to all the questions. What we'll do is let us go ahead and vet this project, and we'll have a conversation internally. And certainly, it's a great idea. So thank you for bringing this up.
And I just wanted to say that was a pilot for just in Wet Canyon. And in the future, if we work out the quirks and it all runs really well, then I could see this expanding, as you see in the proposal, to all of the canyons, at least up a Highway 12. To start, and that have substations to bring the people. Thank you.
All right. Let me now call on Mr. Manuel Pedraza.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Commissioner Haas, Lopez, and Mr. Lucero. It's good to see you guys. As you guys know, my name is Manuel Pedraza. I am the owner of a company called Blue Line Operations, which I'm here to inform you guys about. A little bit about me. I'm born and raised here in Trinidad, a proud graduate from Honey. Went on to college. Went on to be a police officer for 11 plus years, where I worked for gangs, narcotics, and alongside the Federal Bureau of Investigations, doing narcotic work. I got a medical retirement in 2019 after an officer-involved shooting. Then I started my own company. I'm currently wanting to bring that company from Pueblo down home into the Trinidad area. So I'm here just to kind of give you guys information about that. Some goals that I want to do is I want to expand here back in Trinidad, like I said. I want to bring more community safety here to Trinidad. there's certain things that are going on here that we might be able to assist and help. Some of the things that we offer, uniform traffic control. You guys may not know that, but CDOT hires my company right now, one of the largest companies that CDOT hires, to hire police officers to park on the side of the road and make sure that construction workers are safe. In fact, today I have a officer working on exit 14 here in the city. We do private investigations, long-term, short-term security. And what we're rolling out now is high-tech security cameras. You may have seen them. Some of them are Walmart parking lots in larger cities like in Pueblo that capture 365 degrees high-resolution cameras. What I want to do is I want to bring my company back down to Trinidad, where I'm from, where my roots are, and see if I could be assistance in any way to the county, the city, and local law enforcement. I have been in talks with Sheriff Neverett and Intern Chief Tohanovich. So I'm here to spread out the word. We're huge on giving back to the community. I've sponsored several golf stuff here already last year. I have donated plenty of money to St. Baldrick's. I'm a firm believer in giving back in the community. And I'm here as a resource if you guys need. So just here to give you guys a little spiel on that.
Well, thank you, sir, and welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it. Is it okay if I give you guys a...
Sure. Thanks for coming home.
Yeah, absolutely.
See you. Anyone online that wishes to use this moment for public comment? Hearing that, we're going to go to all the way down to Section 9, New Business. Consideration of Resolution 25-013, Retention and Destruction Policy. Mr. Dorenkamp.
Commissioners, before you, for your consideration, is Resolution 25-013, Retention and Destruction Policy. I want to say thank you to staff and especially Attorney Nelson and DHS Director Michael Aragon for assisting in developing this document. I'd ask the board to approve it.
And first of all, I want to as well extend a sincere thanks for the policy. It's all by statute. It's all... as it is mandated by either state or federal government, how long these records are to be retained before they are destroyed. I have reviewed that, and I would imagine, as you mentioned, council has already done the same thing. So, yes, very good. And I want to thank you for all the work that went into this whole thing. Would you like to read the resolution?
Resolution number 25-013, the Board of County Commissioners of Los Angeles County, Colorado. A resolution to adopt a county record retention and destruction policy. Whereas the Board of County Commissioners recognizes the need to protect, preserve Los Angeles County's records, as well as manage and organize the documentary information created by or received by county employees and elected officials. Whereas county records must be created and retained for a wide range of administrative, legal, fiscal, and historical purposes, thus, in order to provide efficient and timely access to the records by staff members and the public, to comply with Colorado laws and regulations concerning retention of records, and to preserve Los Angeles County's history. Whereas a records retention schedule is essential to establish Los Angeles County's and Los Angeles County Department of Human Services policies regarding how long county records must be retained to comply with legal and operational requirements, and allow for the proper destruction of records as storage space is exhausted or becomes excessively burdensome or expensive. Whereas disposal or destruction of documents and or items which are the property of Los Angeles County must be done in a responsible fashion and tracked for accountability and institutional memory. Whereas disposal or destruction of documents and or records within Los Angeles County's Department of Human Services programmatic records are considered property of the state of Colorado, must be retained, disposed of, or destroyed according to the state's and Los Angeles County Department of Human Services respective retention schedule, for NC Appendix A, and Whereas the Board of County Commissioners desired to establish such a policy regarding these matters. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of Los Angeles County, Colorado, as follows. One, retention and destruction policy attached to this resolution as Exhibit A and incorporated in this resolution by reference, print, record retention and destruction policy and print is hereby adopted. Two, the resolution shall be in effect upon its adoption. All resolutions and portions of the resolutions in conflict with the above are hereby repealed. Three, the resolution shall take effect and be enforced immediately upon its approval by the board. On a motion made in the second affirmative vote, this resolution was adopted as 14th February 2025. I order the Board of County Commissioners of Los Angeles County, Colorado, followed by your signature lines.
Thank you, sir. Commissioners, any questions on either the resolution and or the Exhibit A? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
I move resolution 25-013, retention and destruction policy, be approved.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Lucero?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Consideration of resolution 25-014, procurement policy. Back to you, Mr. Dorenkamp.
Commissioners, same as the other resolution, but this pertains to procurement policies, our procurement policy. And again, I'd like to thank staff and Attorney Nelson and DHS Director Michael Aragon for assisting in developing this policy.
Thank you, sir. And I want to, one of the points that I highlighted, anyone that is, whose headquarters, and I had a question on that, whose headquarters is in Los Angeles County will get, when it comes to the sale of commodities to the county, will get additional points when we go out for bid. There is a line item in there, sir, that says whose headquarters are in. And I like us to consider anyone that is operating in Los Angeles County, not necessarily headquarters, because I don't know. Just simply a comment on that.
Commissioner, if I may, the reason I had put that language in there is because we have, when it comes to like within the Road and Bridge Department, we have a company who has one of their satellite operations in the industrial park, but their headquarters is in a different county.
Okay.
And my reasoning for thinking this way is that they compete with a local contractor, a local business owner whose headquarters are in Los Angeles County. So my thinking is that's why I...
Thank you. Thank you. Commissioners, any additional questions? Any other questions on this particular... Read the resolution, Mr. Dorenkamp.
Resolution 25-014, the Board of County Commissioners of Los Angeles County, Colorado. Resolution repealing prior procurement policies and adopting a new procurement policy for Los Angeles County. Whereas on March 21, 2000, Board of County Commissioners of Los Angeles County, Colorado, in the county, and adopted a procurement policy to establish guidelines for the expenditure of county funds in an efficient and transparent manner. Whereas since that time, various amendments and modifications to the procurement policy have been adopted on multiple occasions to address evolving regulatory, operational, and fiscal requirements. Whereas the Board of County Commissioners has determined that a comprehensive revision of the county's procurement policy is necessary to modernize procurement processes, enhance efficiency, and to ensure compliance with current federal, state, and local laws. And whereas it is in the best interest of the county to rescind and replace the previously adopted procurement policy, including all amendments, with a newly established policy that reflects current government best practices and legal requirements, now therefore be resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of Los Angeles County, Colorado, as follows. One, repeal of prior procurement policies. The Los Angeles County procurement policy originally adopted on March 21, 2000, along with all subsequent amendments and modifications hereby declared null and void and is fully repealed to adoption of the new procurement policy. The Board of County Commissioners hereby adopts the new Los Angeles County procurement policy attached here to is Exhibit A, which shall govern all county procurement activities effective immediately upon passage of this resolution. Three, implementation compliance. All county departments, offices, and agencies shall comply with the provisions of the newly adopted procurement policy. The county administration shall oversee the implementation of the new policy and provide guidance to ensure compliance. Four, effective date, this resolution shall take effect immediately upon adoption. Five, all county employees, officials, vendors shall adhere to the terms, conditions set forth in the newly adopted procurement policy. Six, administration shall disseminate this policy to department heads and elected officials. Upon a motion made in the second affirmative vote, this resolution was adopted this fourth day of February 2025 by order of the Board of County Commissioners of Los Angeles County, Colorado, followed by your signature words.
Thank you, Mr. Doran Campa. Any discussion, commissioners?
Was the proposed procurement policy made available to all the elected official departments?
I saw the input from everyone, yes, sir. And received input from staff, county attorney, and DHS director.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion.
Move to approve the resolution 25014 to procurement policy.
Second.
Mr. Cerro?
Yes.
Mr. Hess?
Yes.
Mr. Lopez?
Yes. Thank you. Consideration of Colorado State University Board of Governors Extension MOU.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, do you guys have a copy of it? I've got it.
Okay.
Do you
have a copy of the DVD? Yeah, there is the exhibit A. Okay. Yes, we got it.
Basically, I don't know if you guys remember, we updated this 2 years ago, I think, and now CSU, they made some changes. But basically, once this one is in place, it'll stay in place for 5 years. And if you guys want to terminate it, if you look at the agreement, you can terminate it within 30 days. So basically, we just need you guys to review it. And if you have any questions, let me know. The major change you guys should probably be aware of is Kim is resigning from her position effective March 31st. She's moving back to Texas. So we will have a vacancy in the extension office. Right now, I don't know what that means with, because CSU is also having budget issues because the state of Colorado is having budget issues. So, yeah. I don't know what it means.
The only nod I need is I know probably council has read this agreement.
I have. The only concern I have, commissioners, is with the addendum, just because there's amounts not filled in.
Right. And I didn't realize that. Can I get those to you?
That was my question. If we had a version that didn't have the TBD section on it, so that the version that I have, those are blank. But you have a completed version, Lori?
I do. Can I give that to you?
Yes, please.
I have a few notes on it, but does that matter?
Yeah, because I actually was going to recommend to table this.
You could review it.
Okay.
I mean, it doesn't have to be done today.
That's fine.
Do you want me to send an electronic version of that? Okay.
That would be good.
Do I send it to you? Okay.
I think for purposes, and thank you, Lori, for the work you're doing, and wish you well finding a replacement. That's always,
I'm so sad.
That's always a challenge. But if we don't see Kim between now and then, give her our best.
You will.
She is a champion for the program.
Yep, she is, for sure.
And so I think, commissioners, the proper thing to do right now, because we haven't had an opportunity to look at this table, my recommendation would be, let's table this. We go into executive session. This will be added on to executive, and we can come out and make a decision. And we'll do that today after executive.
Okay.
Any questions for Sarah?
No, I don't. Do you guys have any questions for me? No? Making it easy on me today. Thank you. For a Tuesday. Yay. Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. On that note, I'll entertain a motion to table item 9C.
I will move to table this item.
Second the motion.
Mr. Hess?
Yes.
Mr. Cerro?
Yes.
Mr. Lopez?
Yes, and this item will be added on to executive session. Nine D, consideration of appointment to South Central Council of Governments. Mr. Dorenkamp.
Commissioners, with the retirement, I'll call it, ex-commissioner Luis Lopez, we now have a vacancy on the South Central Council of Governments that used to be filled. So I ask the board to mull it over and give us a direction who's going to fill that seat.
Commissioner Lopez, you maintain an interest in serving on this board, correct?
That's correct, sir.
How about you, Mr. Lucero?
I'd be okay with Mr. I'm going to recommend Mr. Lopez.
Make that a motion?
Yes.
I'll second that motion.
Commissioner Lucero?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Thank you, commissioners. We'll keep working hard at it. So consideration of World Fuel Diesel and Gasoline Local Government FET exemption, Mr. Dorenkamp.
Before you, commissioners, is federal excise tax exemption form that needs to be completed for World Fuel Services. So we are exempt from paying taxes when we purchase fuel from them.
Pretty straightforward, counsel. Do you see any challenges? Thank you. Commissioners, any questions? The form is pretty much pretty straightforward. Thank you. I'll entertain a motion.
I move we approve consideration of World Fuel Diesel and Gasoline Local Government EFT exemption.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Becerra?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes. 9F, consideration of CDOT Transportation Planning Region, IGA. Back to you, sir, Mr. Dorenkamp.
Commissioner, for your consideration, is the CDOT Transportation Planning Region, IGA. It's a document that allows us to attend and have input in the TPR meetings.
Thank you. I appreciate you working with South Central Council of Governments to get this document going. Council, any questions on this particular document?
I have no concerns with this.
Thank you, ma'am. Commissioners, any questions for either? I'll entertain a motion.
And again, you've shown an interest in serving on this board.
That's for the just the IGA commissioner right
oh,
now.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Move to approve the CDOT Transportation Planning Region, IGA. I second.
Commissioner Cyril?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes. 9G, consideration of appointment to the Transportation Planning Region Commission. Back to you, Mr. Dorenkamp.
Commissioner, similar to the appointment to South Central Council of Governments with ex-commissioner Reese Lopez retiring, being termed out. This, we have a vacancy on TPR. I'd like the board to mull it over and make a recommendation who we want to appoint to that position.
I would recommend Mr. Lopez if you're willing to do that. You're a little bit more familiar with that at this point in my tenure than I am. So I would nominate Mr. Lopez.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hass?
Yes.
Commissioner Sarah?
Yes.
Thank you, commissioners. I'm going to need a bigger plate. 9H, consideration of 2024 CDOT road inventory changes submittal. Back to you, Mr. Dorenkamp.
Commissioners, annually we have to update our road inventory and submit it to CDOT. It also the HUS funding and other funding sources. That's what this is in front of you. So I'd ask the board to approve it. If you scroll down to the major changes report, in essence, we changed gravel surface roads to paving to asphalt roads on County Road 30.1 in a couple of different segments, 42, which is west of Aguilar, 46, which is west of Aguilar, and 43.5, which is also west of Aguilar. One of the changes that isn't reflected here, but I did make, is the A3.1, the road that's just north of the Honey School, is within the preceding information of the major changes table.
By the way, the road by the Honey School District, I tell you, there is a nice bench. I took a ride up there on a beautiful day, and it's prime. So I invite everyone, bring your bike out there and enjoy a bit of a ride. It's a great improvement to that section. So, Mr. Dornikamp, moving it from gravel roads to paved roads, the same HUTF calculation remains in effect?
It does, Commissioner, except that for gravel roads compared to asphalt roads bring us twice as much. It's double the amount of monies that go into a local jurisdiction for having asphalt roads versus gravel. And I think last I checked, it was in the last 6 months, and I'm pulling from the hip here, but I believe it's around $2,000 a mile for gravel, around $4,000 receive HUTF monies for asphalt.
So let's keep paving.
And there's additional savings because we don't have to maintain them like we do with gravel, correct?
Excellent point, Commissioner. Yes, sir. Once that asphalt, that hard surface is in place, it's a whole lot easier to maintain than a gravel road.
Yep.
And it also provides a much better and safer ride for the traveling public.
Well,
do you have to adjust? Do you adjust your HTF inventory when there's a vacating?
Yes, sir, we have in the past. So if there's a vacation, I go in and eliminate it on this same report.
That's why it's heavily scrutinized.
Well, thank you. Any other discussion on this line item? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Move to approve the 2024 CDOT road inventory changes submitted.
Second.
Commissioner Serra?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes. Consideration of CCI voting proxy. So on this one, Commissioner Serra, you have any comments on it?
I don't. Mr. Hess was kind of explaining to me earlier because I wasn't familiar with that. So.
Yeah. So my recommendation, let me, not as the chair, but as just giving my comments, he serves on the executive board as the president-elect of CCI. What we have done when I had a tenure, certainly the voting came through that. So my recommendation would be to have Commissioner Tony Hass to be the voting person for CCI. And I think he has done fantastic on that. So,
well, let me add a little additional information. All three commissioners look at the legislation that is going to be impactful to our counties. And this is one area where we do consult with each other, to our attorney, but on that to see if it's viable. So when we get to CCI, if there are two of the three commissioners that decide that, yes, we want to move forward, and no, we don't, with that particular bill, we abstain from the vote, just for clarification.
Yep.
Do you need a motion?
Yes.
I move that Mr. Haas be our CCI voting proxy.
I second the motion.
Thank Commissioner, you.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Serra?
Yes.
Thank you. And for the record, when Commissioner Hess, if he were not to be available, we would also need to, in there, Mr. Dornikamp, on the form, have a replacement for that. Should he not be present for the vote, we would need to have, on that particular form, going back to CCI, a proxy for the proxy, if you will.
And who will that be?
I move Mr. Lopez.
Okay, I'll second the motion.
I second.
Commissioner Cyril?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Well, thank you. It's going to be a busy legislative session. Let's go to 9J, consideration of Wallace Oil Company certificate of use of gasoline and or undyed diesel. Mr. Dornenkamp.
Commissioners, similar to the one that the board approved for World Fuel, is to absolve the county from paying federal excise taxes on fuel purchases from Wallace Oil.
Thank you.
I move we approve Wallace Oil Company certificate for state use of gasoline and undyed diesel.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Cyril?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes. Thank you. 9K. Discussion and consideration of resolution 25-012, appointment to the OPI, Otero Partners Incorporated Board of Directors. Mr. Dornenkamp.
Commissioner, before you for your consideration is resolution 25-012, appointment to the OPI Board of Directors. In developing this resolution, we left out the, typically it's been an annual appointment. Our thoughts were between myself and staff was that maybe to extend that for a timeframe that the board would so choose would help stabilize some of that. Although in the past, I think the board's been typically reappoints the same commissioner that was filling that role. Rather than doing it annually, we thought perhaps the board would entertain maybe doing it every 3 years or 5 years or 4 years.
At the very least, four. We have a commissioner for 4 years that was appointed at the last meeting. So I think I would be real comfortable with the appointment for the 4 year pending any resignation, any changes. But I think that would be okay. Finance director, since you also serve with the OPI, any?
Yep.
Very good. Commissioners?
I think for continuity, I think that's for purposes of continuity, I think that's a good idea. And I would, did we do the nomination?
Yeah, we had the nomination last week, okay. But it's just now on the resolution, the term, correct?
Right.
Yes.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Commissioner Cyril?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes. And now would you please read the resolution, Mr. Dornenkamp?
Resolution of the Board of County Commissioners of Los Angeles County, Colorado, appointing a primary representative and alternate representative of Los Angeles County to serve on the Board of Directors of Otero's Partner, Inc., governing the Business Loan Fund and Revolving Loan Fund Program, the Bi-County Region, Grant 4 through, so we'll have for the Bi-County Region through the calendar year 2029. Resolution number 25-012, whereas Otero County, Los Angeles County entered into an intergovernmental agreement, Grant IGA, for the purpose of establishing and operating a business loan fund, revolving loan fund program in an effort to stimulate new business development within the respective counties through the availability of low-interest loan funds, and whereas two counties utilize the authority set out in the IGA to create Otero Partners, Inc., for the purpose of administering the Business Loan Fund Revolving Loan Fund, whereas Otero Partners, Inc. is governed by a board of directors comprised of a representative of Otero County, Los Angeles County, municipalities located within Otero County, Los Angeles County, and whereas it is necessarily to quadrilineal every 4 years, designate a primary representative and alternate representative of participating units of government from within Otero County and Los Angeles County serve on Otero Partners, Inc. Board of Directors for the purpose of setting policy and making decisions governing the operations of Otero Partners, Inc. as it administers a business loan fund revolving loan fund program serving the bi-county area, now therefore be resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of Los Angeles County, Colorado, that one, Board of County Commissioners hereby appoint Robert Acero, alternate Phil Dorick, have to serve on the board of directors of Otero Partners, Inc. during calendar years 25, 26, 27, 28, 29. Is my math right?
28.
On a motion made in second affirmative vote, this resolution was adopted this fourth day of February 2025, board of the Board of County Commission, Los Angeles County, Colorado, followed by your signature lines.
Thank you, sir. Any additional conversation on this? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
I move this consideration resolution 25012 appointment to the OPI and Corbett be approved.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hass?
Yes.
Commissioner Cerro?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes. Thank you. Now we come to the fun part. Section 10, financial matters, consideration of payroll and bills for the second half of January 2025. Finance Director Hoberly. By the way, before we get into that, any issues with the cell phones? I know since I had highlighted, I just wanted to ask this, that the coverage is, no one has said, well, that's really great. That's good. Very good.
So far, so good. And I know that there are some discussions, the email going back and forth to put up some boosters in certain areas, but they're still in the process. Our staff and Road Bridge are still in the process. Sheriff's Department is still in the process of trying to locate the best places to place those boosters.
Very good. And I know we're going to be capitalizing on some savings. So back to you, Finance Director.
Just a few texts, but
that would be me too. That's why I'm asking.
Payroll as of January 31st, 2025 is $226,708.33. Do you have any questions on payroll?
No, ma'am.
Invoices paid on January 24th, 2025. $654,277.24. Within this packet, I'm going to bring to your attention Dominion voting system for the election. This is the lease on the machine for 2025. It's $16,452.27. This was the final payment to milling. We paid him $299,164.16. We did withhold 5% as a retainage until the advertisement comes back for the 10 days for $15,745. And then there was a discrepancy to Robert Shannon that we need to void this check, that it should have never been sent out. So we're in the process of doing that now.
Okay.
And other than that, I don't have any highlights unless I missed something that you have a question on.
No, my only question was going to be on the lease on the voting equipment. Mm-hmm. Did Clerk Apple, did she get a grant, or does she have a grant, or is this directly 100% county?
This here is the lease, but she did receive two different grants for security. Okay. So right now we have one for $20,000 that she's trying to spend down, and one for $18,000 that she hasn't even done anything with it. But I don't know if you saw the email where I think they're trying to collaborate with Jill Richards for a security grant for security right there in front.
Yes.
But she does have the, I think, $14,000 left of the $20,000, and then the full $18,000 that she still has available for security. That her and I are working on that.
Well, thank you. Commissioners, any questions for Finance Director Hilbert?
Yeah, check number 3414, Mr. Ben Armour. Amarillo, 4471. What was that for?
The jail purchases supplies from them. It's food.
Food.
I think.
Okay. But what is it? Check number what? Oh yes, yes, that's their food supply.
Okay.
Yeah, if they started using them about 2 years ago.
They
yes.
Use the local one and that one.
Mm-hmm. That's the food they get for the jail inmates.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Any other discussion on the financial? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion.
Move to approve payroll and bills for the second half of January 2025.
Second.
Commissioner Cerro?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes. It brings us now to the executive session. Executive session. The board will meet under CRS 24-6402 for be conferring with the county attorney for the purpose of receiving legal advice and specific legal questions. Item number, we're going to add, let me read this first, cloth wiring, water, service plant closures, and we're also going to be reviewing the consideration of Colorado State University Board of Governors Extension MOU. On that note, I will entertain a motion to enter into executive session and suspend this meeting for a time with about a 10-minute recess.
So moved.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Cerro?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes. I want to thank you, commissioners. At this time, I'm going to entertain a motion to adjourn executive session and resume the regular Board of County Commissioners meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Commissioner Cerro?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes, thank you. And one item that I want to bring to our attention, it was 9C, the consideration of Colorado State University Board of Governors Extension MOU. That item was tabled, commissioners, based upon the information and the communication that we just had. I believe that this item will continue to be laid on the table until further meeting. Any discussion, any questions on that?
No.
Hearing that, I will entertain a motion to leave that item on the table until Mr. Doran Camp collects all the information pertinent to some of the line items that we need responses to.
So moved.
Second the motion.
Mr. Hess?
Yes.
Mr. Cerro?
Yes.
Mr. Lopez?
Yes. Thank you. At this time, we have no other items on this agenda. I will entertain a motion to adjourn this meeting of on this February 4th, 2025.
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Cerro?
Yes.
Mr. Hess?
Yes.
Mr. Lopez?
Yes. Thank you all and have a great afternoon. Great meeting.